Is China Facebook's next big market?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. We start with a global perspective on business and economics. We've heard all morning about the money Facebook will make by going public. But where could the company grow from here? It already has 845 million users. Future investors are going to want more. China is one place a social media site could look. Facebook isn't allowed there now, but as Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, the company hasn't given up.
China has a half a billion internet users. Without special software, none of them can access Facebook. For the company's new shareholders, that'll sound like a market Facebook needs to tap into. But first, Facebook will have to convince China's government to like it.
The Chinese internet authorities don't like big user-generated content sites who are not run by Chinese companies that self-censor.
Jeremy Goldcorn is editor of Donwei.com, a website devoted to Chinese media. He says in order to play in China, Facebook will have to offer a localized version that would be censored, sort of like Twitter's new country-specific censorship program.
If you were in Thailand and you were tweeting insults to the king, which is illegal in Thailand, Twitter would have the ability to make sure that nobody in Thailand could see that tweet. You know, this is the type of thing that Facebook would have to do.
CEO Mark Zuckerberg says he's learning Chinese and he's come to China to scope out the landscape. The question is he ready to change Facebook for access to China's market? In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
We'll find out tomorrow if the job market here in the U.S. is improving or not so much. That's when we get one of the country's most important economic reports, the monthly job numbers. We figured we'd get a little insight into the country's employment situation in our weekly attitude check.
And the latest poll numbers suggest margin of error.
There is somewhat of a disconnect.
It's conventional wisdom.
Our survey said.
Frank Newport is editor-in-chief at the polling firm Gallup. He joins us every Thursday. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
So Gallup does its own jobs polling. What trends are you spotting right now?
Well, we spotted unemployment actually decreasing some in the middle of January. It was 8.5 in December. And by our calculations, we interviewed 30,000 people a month. We had unemployment down to 8.3 by the middle of the month, but it's actually come back up near the end of the month. So we'll see what happens. We think the government should be reporting unemployment about the same or maybe slightly improved. But I have to give a caveat here. The government seasonally adjusts their data, and they're actually going to some new weighting procedures based on new census data this month. So kind of a crapshoot what they'll show. But we think unemployment's been fairly steady, maybe improving slightly, at least through the middle of January.
And what are you hearing from people about their expectations for the job market?
Expectations for the economy in general is how we track it, and they're getting slightly better than we have seen previously. That's economic confidence, although that, too, has seen a slight deterioration near the end of January.
Now, we heard President Obama propose giving tax breaks to companies to bring manufacturing jobs back to the U.S. What do you know about support for that kind of proposal?
Oh, that's widespread. In fact, this is very unusual. We have over 8 out of 10 Americans who, in general, support that idea. But what's unusual when we look beneath the data here is this is one of the few things that the president proposes that has unanimous support from both Democrats and Republicans. I say unanimous. It's got over 80% support on both sides of the aisle, and that's highly unusual. So this is something that I think the president, anybody actually, can go out and say, yeah, let's bring jobs back with tax breaks or whatever, and you're going to get overwhelming support from the average American.
Frank Newport is editor-in-chief at Gallup. Thanks.
You bet.
Now let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed today. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow finished up 83 points to close at 12,716.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, agents committed to small business success. 1-866-200-4BIZ. We are insurance. We are farmers.
And now to Australia, where a bus company owner sold his company. But instead of pocketing the money, he decided to share it with his employees. The BBC's Duncan Kennedy reports from Sydney.
They're already calling him Australia's best boss.
Ken Grender has just sold his bus company and decided to spread his good fortune. His 1,800 staff are each getting a share of $15 million, an average of $8,000 each. Ken says he's dismayed how much some executives are earning and wanted to reward his loyal staff.
Bus drivers, as these guys will testify, aren't the highest paid people in town, but they're totally dedicated. They've worked very hard.
Some employees wept when they heard the news. Others phoned their banks, thinking the extra money in their account must be a mistake. The employee Shane Baker says his daughter's big day can now go ahead.
Me and my wife were struggling to work out how we were going to pay for my daughter's wedding, and now I don't have to work 7 days. I've only got to work 6 days a week. So.
Ken Grender has been in his family bus business for 66 years. He says the giveaway has been liberating. In Sydney, I'm the BBC's Duncan Kennedy for Marketplace.
And finally...
That's right, woodchuck-chuckers. It's Groundhog Day! Get up and shit that hog out there!
Yeah! Come here, Groundhog!
This February 2nd, we asked a couple of economists to play Groundhog for us and help predict the economic future. First to peek out, Richard DeKayser with the Parthenon Group.
If I were the groundhog, I think I'd be pretty confused at the moment. The economy's been muddling along for the past year, and I'd have a hard time figuring out whether that's going to accelerate into something resembling strength or deteriorate into something resembling a recession.
And groundhog number two, Charles Ballard. He's an econ professor at Michigan State University.
The biggest shadow, I think, is the European debt situation. So far, the Europeans have managed to sort of limp along and not let things spin out of control. I think that'll continue, but it is a real concern.
If you want to join our gang of economic groundhogs, head to our website at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's a funny thing, but in Las Vegas, the number of foreclosures and the price of a college degree move together.
It just seems so hard to imagine that because it's like it just keeps going up and up and up and up and up.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. The state of things through the eyes of college students. It's the real economy. Our election coverage next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.